meeting at the Old Stone Church. And God said, get up and go talk to him. He's going to be your friend. I guess God's not a liar. Amen? You know, I've come here many times, and I have to tell you that every time I've come, before I came, even weeks before I came, I felt like the Lord had shared what I needed to preach. But this week, I didn't know what to preach. And so I'm amazed at how God answers prayer. I would try it if I was you. I would try it a lot. Because we sang about it this morning, that we are royalty. That Jesus paid a lot to forgive us of our sins, but also to give us access to our God who created us so that we can be part of the solution that God is bringing into the earth. We bring the kingdom of God to people. And actually, one of the greatest things you do as a preacher and a greatest thing that you do as a Christian is get on your knees and begin to intercede and ask God to move in situations. And for some reason, God has wired his heart to his people. And when we begin to pray, he begins to move. Many times we don't take that element. We would rather muscle up, and we'd rather sing great worship songs, or we'd rather maybe tingle our ears with education. But I want to tell you that it's the humblest spot that God brings us in, because when you get down on your knees, you're literally saying, God, I can't do anything without you. And humility is the wiring of heaven. Not arrogance, not boldness in yourself, but humility wires you to be able to speak into the situation. So I began to ask the Lord, I said, what do you want to say to these people? And I had a dream. I'm an old man now, apparently, because old men dream dreams. But I had a dream, and I saw this church, and I saw this church, and it was like being in a retail store, and there was all these racks of clothing between every row. It was a glorious a vision of the church, but those racks of gold, those racks of clothing were robes of righteousness that God wants to give to people that you know. And they're here on the racks in the spirit. And God wants us to begin to intercede, and he wants us to begin to believe for things that we cannot do. You know, when Jesus came on the earth, he did everything that we could not do. And he showed us that nothing is impossible with God. He raised people that were dead. He raised them that were beyond dead. They were in the grave for 4 days. He raised people that from the very birthing of their life, they could not walk. And he showed us over and over leprosy and all the different diseases, cancer, everything, that all of that is under his dominion, and he has the authority to change that just like that. Now, that doesn't mean that he's Santa Claus. Sometimes we get disappointed because in this realm, we don't see that happening sometimes. I've seen people healed, and I've seen people die. I have two sisters right now that have cancer. One of them has got a sentence from the doctor that she's got 6 months to live. The good thing is they're both saved, and they will never die. And there is a kingdom, there is a place that we're headed towards. There's nobody in this room that's not headed towards dying. You know, I'm 67 years old next month. Don't I look young? But I can remember being 8, dreaming of being a teenager, and I passed teenage. And I can remember being a teenager and dreaming of being a 20-year-old, and I passed 20 years old. And now I'm almost 67, and I realize that in my next 20 years, I very likely could step out of the plane of earth and step into the glory of God. And the finish line is within sight. It's just over the next hill. So I don't get another 20 years after that 20 years or that 20 years. We're all coming to that place. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37. And I want you to know this morning here that we are talking about the God of all creation, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, who has set everything into motion. And he's not just coming back, but there's a kingdom that's going to be eternal. He is the eternal, everlasting king that this world, this age that we're in, is going to end. Just like when I was 8, I wanted to be 13. We're moving in a direction that there's coming a day when all of this earth and this season and this time scan is going to all be over with. And that new kingdom, for all those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will not be cancer, there will not be sickness, there will not be immorality. Your body will stop fighting against righteousness, but will embrace it with such glory that you're going to think that the whole world is going to literally look at what the Lord has done for you and I. And it's going to say, he says after he does that, that the whole world might know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. We try it by money. We try it by program. We try it by drugs. We try to get this sin nature over us. But there's coming a day, all those that have trusted in him, that are going to be raised with the same resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I'm starting to get excited, more than I'm excited about being a teenager, more than I'm excited about being old enough to drink. And I'll tell you, if you don't have your eyes focused on God, you're going to become very discouraged. Because this world is not going to last. I love that song that our dear brother sang this morning. We've sang that for many years, haven't we, Howard? Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Kings, Putin, Biden, Trump, Reagan, you can name the president. I don't worship a president. Kings and leaders and presidents, nations, isms, communism, Buddhism, capitalism, they'll all pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We are serving a God that is the eternal God. And if you're in Ezekiel right now, you're in chapter 37, but I'm just going to go back to one verse in chapter 36, where at the end of it he says, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. You know, if I came here today and made promises to you, you would probably waver a little bit, because I, as a man, I can't do everything that you need. And so all the promises of God and the gospel of God, it actually says in the New Testament, because God could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're not wavering anymore if something's not working out for you, that you realize maybe it won't work out here, and maybe it will. Maybe you just need to turn on the believer a little bit more and get into a position of faith and get wired to believe God for your situation rather than giving up on it. Because God is a God. I love this verse in Psalms that says, how long will you turn my shame into, or my glory into shame? In other words, when we're challenged with something, how long will we immediately say, oh, God can't do anything, or that's never going to work out, instead of saying, I don't know how you're going to work it out, God, but you're going to work it out, and I'm agreeing with the glory. I'm agreeing that you're going to bring glory to your name in this situation. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And he's talking about, there's a kind of a crossover in chapter 36 where there's New Testament promises and there's eternal promises. And I'm going to soar up to heaven. Anyone who want to go to heaven with me in their brain today? I want to soar up to heaven and just get a glimpse, because the scripture says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or has even perceived into the mind of man what great things the Lord has prepared for those that believe in him. And he says, there's coming a day, and I will sanctify my name. Verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profound among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst.
And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. God's going to do such a demonstration of his greatness in you that he's going to declare his name through you. It's an everlasting kingdom, and he is the everlasting king on the throne, but he also says in the book of Daniel that he gives you the everlasting kingdom. Anybody excited about that? You're not convincing me. Is anybody excited about that? And stir up your emotions. It says to stir yourself up until you burst into flame with this new hope that God, for I will take you from among the nations, and I will gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land, and then I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Now, what that means to me when I'm thinking about heaven, has you ever noticed that there's resistance in you? Okay, and you know the truth, and you know that the Bible tells you you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I get really frustrated when we sing songs, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I know you guys, you aren't free. You aren't coming into the full revelation of what free is. I know myself. I sing about being free, but I still have this down current. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day. Woo! There's coming a day when God's going to so sprinkle you that that nature is going to be gone forever. All the resistance, all the sin nature, all that's been fallen is going to be gone. I'll tell you, I am looking forward to that day. Come on. I want to serve God with all my heart, soul, and strength, but I struggle because I've got this dead body I live in. Paul said it this way, who will deliver me from the body of this death? It doesn't want to think right. It doesn't want to do the right things. But he says, in that day, woo-hoo! In that day, I will sprinkle you and you will be sanctified, and you will be clean from all of your filthiness in such a way that the world will step back and say, wow. I don't know who's stepping back, but he said, I will be hallowed before all the nations. Wow, they believed in this Jesus, and we thought they were nuts their whole life long, but look at now them, and look at now us. That's something to look forward to. That's something that should cause our eyes to come up. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take out of you that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. If you're discouraged today, God wants you to lift your eyes up. He wants you to believe in the God that calls things that are dead alive. The God that has promised to keep you, protect you, and help you. He's promised to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you, and he's promised to take you to the mountaintop. And if you've lived long at all, you realize they're both there. You can be in the valley, and you can be on the mountain. The mistake that we make when we're on the mountain is we think we're going to live there forever. But once you get to the top of the mountain, you're going down on the other side, and you're going to go right back down in the valley. But God is the God of the mountain, and God is the God of the valley. So the Lord comes in this Old Testament story, and he grabs Ezekiel in chapter 37. He said, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. So here's the picture. This man of God is caught up by the Spirit of God. And he comes down in this valley. It's a graveyard. It's a graveyard of Israelites. It's a graveyard of dead people that had lived. And they're gone. All their dreams are gone. You know, we talked a little bit about the military today. And something that, just a new revelation, you know, I really respect the military. In fact, I go to the graveyard sometimes and I look at those flags. And especially when I see the guy was 21, 22, I realize he probably was killed in combat. And you know, if Dan was killed in combat, Dan Tabalt is not just the only thing that died. The dream that he had, the dream I would have had with my wife Joanne of having children would have died. The dream that we would have had of a house would have died, of ancestry. So not only does the man or the woman give up their life, they give up their dream. And so this prophet is walking in this valley filled with all the dreams and all the deaths, and they're scattered all over the place. And I think sometimes that in our lives, I believe there's people here today that if you were honest, you really try to stay away from that valley, because your valley is filled with all kinds of dreams that never came to pass and all kinds of broken people. And you want them to get the robes of righteousness on, but it's just, how can they, Lord? They're caught into drugs. They're caught into immorality. There's a DNA of violence. There's all of this. And then the Lord says to you today, can I do anything about that? Can they live? Can I redeem even the dead? And the prophet says, Lord, you know. What did he say in chapter 36? I am the Lord. I am the one that said this, and I will perform it. So when we are living in this world of the valley of dry bones in the United States of America, and it's not just the United States of America, wherever you go, you know, the thing that God has expanded my brain with about this thing with Russia is, you know, there's been people being killed in Russia before this attack ever happened. And it's not just Russia. There's China. There's nations that are being in genocide towards Christians. There is people suffering all around the world. And what this is doing is God saying, will you wake up? Don't just pray for Russia, but let it expand and let your heart open up that you pray for the nations of the world, because you are my people. You are the ones that I put the answer in. You're the ones that have connection with me. I'm the only one that can solve these problems. And you are my people. You are my intercessor. You are my priesthood. Is this too hard for you guys today? I'll tell you, God wants you to know how royal we sang about it. We were beggars, but now we are royalty. What does that mean? We are the people that have got the ear of God because of the blood of Jesus. And because the name, there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will pass away, but there's something about that name that causes all of heaven to come to attention. When someone that believes in that name, all heaven begins to move. Even though we don't see it. Even though we don't see it. Even though we don't see it. Many of the things that are manifest in the Bible is allowing us to see what heaven is doing, so that we'll remember when we don't see with our natural eyes that heaven is never asleep. Never, never asleep. You know, when they prayed in the prayer meeting in Acts, I think it's chapter 7, that it says that the world had captured Peter and James, and they were in prison, captured Peter, and the world had just martyred James. They had killed one of the saints. It was getting hot for the Christians back then. It wasn't a mamby-pamby faith. If you're going to be a Christian, there's a sentence of life on you. Life and death. And Peter, whom they love, your pastor, whom they love, was arrested and put in jail. And they prayed. This isn't the same story, but they prayed in one place, and it says the whole house shook. They prayed in that place, and in the place of the prison doors were open. And so I believe that God manifests in those things in the book of Acts what actually happens when we get down on our knees and consistently go to God. We might not have the house shake around us. I'm glad that the house doesn't shake. This thing could collapse on us. It's a big building. But in the heavenlies, something is shaking. So the Lord God, the one who said, I have spoken it, and I will do it, shows up again in verse 4. Again, he says to me, prophesy to these bones, or proclaim, speak to these bones. Remember what Jesus said? If you speak to this mountain, it's not a la peanut butter sandwich. It's not a magic potion that when we say, in the name of Jesus, that heaven is helpless. They just got to move. But when we are standing in faith and we stand against a mountain, something that's coming against us, something that's hindering, not necessarily you, but the kingdom of God, because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those who are called according to His purpose. So when we start walking according to His purpose and we begin to recognize why God has made us royalty, you can totally expect God to stand behind you. But if it's all about you just showing off or you getting your way and thinking you can just twist God's arm to do whatever you want, you're still functioning in selfishness instead of humility. Come on. There's so much. There's so many bones that God's saying to you right now, son of man, woman of man, speak to that thing. Prophesy to it. I, the Lord, have spoken it and I will do it. But we step back and say, Lord, how could you ever do something with my son? How could you ever do something with my heritage or my marriage or my manhood or the struggles that I have or my drug addiction? How could you? He says, listen, they're very dry. Can I raise them up? Can they live again? I'm asking you to challenge me. I'm asking you to come to me in real faith, broken, but say, I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to speak because you have told me to speak. And so he begins to prophesy. And prophesying means speaking. It means proclaim. I'm prophesying right now. There's the spirit of prophecy and there's prophecy. But when we are preaching the gospel, every time your pastor preaches the gospel, he is prophesying unto you the word of the Lord. And when he's speaking about the word of God out of the Bible, you need to understand, you need to pay attention. Because God is given direction. And he said, prophesy to these bones. Thus says the Lord to these bones. Surely I will call breath to enter you. And you shall live, and I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, what God is doing, he's saying, don't turn this glory situation into a shameful situation. Begin to believe me for the glory. It's so easy to believe him for glory when everything's right, isn't it? But when it's not, somehow our thoughts go back to maybe he's left us. Maybe I've offended him so much that he won't listen to me. I mean, the enemy is going to throw speed bump after speed bump after speed bump. I want you to know there was a Savior that died for you, my sister. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament was given, there was blood. Why was there blood? Because to have a sacrifice absolutely acceptable to heaven, God was saying way back in the Old Testament, it's going to take a death. The blood of Jesus Christ is over you. Come on, God is not disappointed with His Son. He didn't just clean your hands and your eyes, but He cleansed you completely by the blood, by His sacrifice. And God wants you to rise up. I can't really believe that. God is saying, well, I know. I want you to rise up to a position of not faith in yourself, but absolute faith in what Jesus did for you. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, good for you. Okay, so I prophesy. Imagine that. I didn't just let the dry bones, I didn't just let the mountain, I didn't let the situation beat me up. I spoke back to it in faith, not in arrogance, guys. There's a big difference. It's not self-confidence. You know, I don't like that statement that we make sometimes. Do you know who you are in Christ? Like, yeah, I'm a saved sinner. And now I am a son. But I'm not Superman. I believe in a Superman. I believe in my God that all things are possible. My faith, I was singing that song on the way. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but solely lean upon His name. Oh, blessed Jesus. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. They still needed more. Don't stop pushing until the cart's up over the hill. Don't stop pushing just because your nephew got saved. Start believing beyond your nephew now. Don't stop pushing now that we see Russia's in trouble, but take your word and prophesy to the nations. Can I do it, says the Lord? Can I take a humble people here in Watertown and change nations? Did you not know, saith the Lord, that that's your very destiny? To change nations by the word of the Lord and by your prayers and by the gospel. This gospel will be preached. It will be vaccinated, if you will, into every tribe and every tongue. And it will work for anyone that will believe. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you don't believe that your situation, that God will pay attention. But if you will honestly get below, if you'll humble yourself and get beyond just the religion and not put any kind of restrictions, Lord, I got to sing it right, I got to be it right, and just totally come to the Lord, you can be saved. Anybody saved in here that you're a miracle? Come on. I mean, you're a miracle. Jeff's a miracle. I'm a miracle. And if you're here today and you've not been saved, there's a miracle waiting for you. I take off that clothes of the righteousness of God. That was the dream was. God clothes us in His righteousness. He gives us robes of righteousness. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You accept it. Wow. I'm tiring myself out. He said, prophesy. So he prophesied to the breath. Son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that were slain. And it says that he prophesied and all those things happened, and up came a mighty army. I used to work here at Severance Photo. Anybody remember Severance Photo? Over on Franklin Street. And I got saved. Just before that, got filled with the Holy Spirit, a miracle took place. Dan Tabalt got saved, and something happened to me, and I began to prophesy. And I can remember one time they asked me to clean out the basement, and down in the basement there was an employee that used to bring Playboy and all kinds of pornography and stuff, and so they were just stacked up there, and so I cleaned them out. I threw them all away. I took out the garbage. And not only that, but I began to prophesy to the rocks that God was going to move. I remember being a pastor in Beaver Falls, and we had a balcony like this, and we basically the Lord had filled the bottom, but that hadn't been filled. And I remember being in there and prophesying to those seats. Those seats are going to be occupied. I say that these empty seats. I'll tell you, there's great things coming to this church, but there's trouble at the same time. And so God is trying to bring you up to a level that you understand that He's going to bring in the drug addict. He's going to bring in the people that even that you're praying for. They're going to begin to fill these if you'll begin to speak. And you're not speaking faith out of the faith movement. You're speaking faith out of your faith in Jesus Christ, out of the commandment that God has said to go into all nations and all closets and all places in the earth and be the gospel. Not just preach the gospel, but be the gospel. Sometimes we say all kinds of things, but we aren't all kinds of things. Be all kinds of things and your life will begin to speak out of that. You'll have an anointing just like Peter did. Why did God allow that story to be in the Bible that wherever Peter walked, even the very shadow of Peter, people were getting saved? He was talking about a man or a woman filled with the Holy Ghost, how you can actually influence wherever you are by that anointing that's on you that you get on your knees.
Jesus often would go apart and talk to the Father. I don't know how to talk. Well, learn. I actually have found the greatest part of prayer is just keep your mouth shut and listen. We're not trying to convince God of anything. He's trying to convince us of everything. So we need to listen. So let's go to a New Testament passage, and we're going to finish up sometime this morning. Okay? Early church, they were so hungry, they didn't have any place to go. Hallelujah. Did you say there was a second service today, Jeff? Okay, so now we come to the New Testament, and I'm fascinated with these three books. The book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, and the book of Colossians. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. But if you want to see someone that has learned the mastery of artillery and prayer, has learned that words mean things. You know, we pray things sometimes so shallow that we don't even think about what God is trying to say to us. For example, the situation with Russia. We pray about Russia, but God is actually saying, I'm trying to open your heart to the whole world. And things happen. I had cancer 10 years ago, or I can't even remember anymore. I'm cured. I don't have any cancer anymore. But I'll tell you, having cancer, when somebody tells me that got cancer, my sister called me the other night in tears. She's got cancer, breast cancer. I understood. When there's cancer campaigns now, I want to give. Because that hurt, that situation that I went through, opened me up bigger than I was. And when Paul prays in the Bible, he's literally saying, I am a father in the house. I'm an apostle in the house. I care about the church. I care about the move of God. And therefore, because of that caring, I move in prayer in a certain way. He literally prayed the Roman Empire out of existence. He and his people. And so he starts in Colossians. In chapter 1, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day that we heard, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. What is he talking about? He says, for this reason. He said that he heard about, see, he had never visited this church. It would be like me going to a pastor that just came here from the area. Let me tell you about the church in Watertown, the First Baptist Church. They love God. Wouldn't you like that to be said? They love God and they love one another. They love the presence of God. I was at their service the other day and their pastor was joking and he said, what's wrong with you people coming out in a snowstorm like this? And he was saying, I love the fact that you are hungry for the Word of God. And so Paul was hearing that there was real Christian conversions in that church. And he got on fire. Just like I'm trying to be on fire and you should get on fire. When you see people getting saved, you know God is in the house and God is moving in the house and you want to keep that momentum. So him, as a master builder, he calls himself, a master soldier, a father in the house, he said, I saw it and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I need to pray your brains open. I need to pray your eyes open. I need to pray and God will open your hearts. Now we say those things, Lord, I just pray you'd save my cousin Johnny.
And we just hit it real shallow when we don't understand. We say the statement, there's power in prayer. Do you believe that? Okay, so take your words, prophesy unto Johnny. Lord, I sense that as I pray for Johnny, I sense, Lord, that you want to save him and that it's much more than him. You want to save his wife. You want to change the destiny of his family. So, Lord, I'm interceding. I'm prophesying under that dirt pile. I'm prophesying under that mess, Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, I sense it. And you know what happens? Heaven says, yes, sir, here comes the supply. Do you know how you got saved? Somebody prayed for you. You hard-nosed, stiff-necked person. Somebody prayed and they broke that. Come on. Why do we not pray more? Why do we not send artillery like crazy when we're up against situations and we see somebody that's a valley of dry bones? Why don't we speak to it like God said? I'm sorry, I'm not scolding you guys. I'm talking to myself too. I'm trying to get stirred up, and I've been learning about this concept of what Paul said. He said, for this reason, I know that you have been bought by Christ. I know that you are the garden of the Lord. You are literally the attention of heaven where God wants to demonstrate his glory through your life. And boy, I'm going to get behind that in prayer. Do you feel that way about one another? I'll tell you, I find that when we know people, we tend to judge them. Paul says this, he says, judge no man after the flesh. I don't care if you knew their mother or their family or you knew what they were like in high school. All that's gone. Now you need to begin to focus on who they are in Christ. You know the calling of people in this church, and you'll even know it more so when you get on your knees. You'll even know the calling of your pastor and your elders and your board. You'll know the call, the direction that God wants this church. Maybe just a little, but just enough so you got a target to shoot at. That's what he's praying. He says, since I heard about this, the first thing he prayed is, I'm praying that the will of God will become expanded to you. That you'll begin to understand the will of God like never before. Many times because we have no clue what's going on, we say, Lord, your will be done. I would challenge you today that God wants to go deeper than that. He actually wants to show you what the will of God is. That you'll begin to be someone that perceives what God is doing. And here's a great, for instance, that I read in Philippians that Paul understood. Paul is called by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You know what happened to him? He got arrested and thrown in jail. What would you do if that was you? You'd get scared, and maybe you would get discouraged, and you'd feel like the devil won. The devil has not won a game since 2,000 years ago. He has lost. He doesn't have the ball. God is winning. And so he said in Philippians, he says, hey guys, I'm just going to say it my own way. He's writing back to the Philippians because they're supporting him. He's a missionary in prison. He says, I want you guys to understand something. That me being thrown into prison has actually worked out the furtherance of the gospel. He didn't care if he's in prison. What he wants to see is the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, my name is a household name now. They talk about me. They're talking about this gospel. And I'm just ecstatic that God took something that we would think would be a negative thing, expanded Paul's vision, and now he can see the will of God in that situation. Come on. You need that to happen to your bones. You need that to happen to a situation that you think is hopeless, or even you've given the devil credit and said, my life is under the dominion of darkness and I can't squeak out of this, when actually maybe there is oppression and bondage, but in the name of Jesus, walk out of it. I say that again. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk out of it. And you're just going to leave a big pile of demonic refuge and glorify Jesus' name. Think about the man that was in the Bible filled with legions of demons. You know who that is? That's me. He wasn't just a guy that was a legion of demons. Lord was trying to show us, you don't have just one problem. You have bags of them. Come on. Does anybody know that? I mean, my sins rolled off and a lot of things cleared up, but I still have buckets and buckets of Dan that I'm still dealing with. And God wants to deal with all of that. And so he prays that. I'm going to pray first off. He's shooting this artillery at you guys. So I say it. I pray in Jesus' name that God would begin to expand with each one of you, that you'd begin to understand the will of God in so many different situations that you don't right now. And Paul actually believed that God would begin to do it. These are great prayers, by the way, for pastors, Jeff. I've thought about this, that as a pastor, I study. And I want worship to be good. I want the atmosphere of the meeting to be good. And I put a lot of effort in those things. But I have to tell you that I've fallen short with this position. Because if my excitement is all only excitement, it's not going to change you guys. But if in my excitement there's an anointing, if God can take the words of a backwood farmer and anoint them, they will pierce your flesh and go right into your heart. If God can open you up as the gospel is being preached, you're going to leave this building different people. Paul understood that that happened here. Do you understand that? As a church, I want to encourage you, pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the services. Pray for the people that are coming in. Lord, open their heart. Can you remember the miracle that took place when you were born again? How God opened your heart. It was a miracle. A miracle that God wants to do over and over again. And he says, I pray you're filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. So he understands that you can become very religious. He's saying, I'm praying not just that you'll be filled with wisdom, that you can quote scripture and that you can be religious, but I'm praying that somehow you'll become practical. Have you ever met an impractical Christian? I have. They quote scripture all the time and they drive. I almost want to say, would you just be quiet? You're just making a mess here. Because you're saying this and saying that, and it's obnoxious. But he says, I want you to know the wisdom of God, and I'm praying that not only will you know it, but that you'll have the understanding of how to apply that to where you live. I made many mistakes when I first got saved with my Catholic background, with my mom and my sisters. But somehow we got through it. And my sisters got saved, and my mom got saved, and some of my brothers have gotten saved, in spite of me, not because of me. But I did many things that were, I thought were scriptural, but I really didn't have the understanding of what I was dealing with. And I'm not saying I have all understanding now. What I'm saying is, you need wisdom. You need it. You don't need it from me. You need it from the Holy Spirit. And you need understanding. So in Jesus' name, I pray that for you. Not because I think you're stupid. Not because I think that you're impractical. I'm praying that God would do something supernatural in you because you're meant to walk supernaturally. Amen? So Paul understood when he prayed for that, whole congregations became changed. Towns became changed because we are the salt that seasons the community. We are the light that shows where the stop signs are. We begin to be who we are. Can you say amen, Brother Jeff? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I need you back there, bud. Okay. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. That you might, in everything that you do, we sang, a pastor shared this morning too. We were made to be worshipers. Worship is not just this. Worship is how you treat one another. Worship is how you are employed. Worship is how you are a boss. Worship is how you carry yourself as a young woman and an older woman, or a young man and an older man. Everything that you do, if it's connected where you want everything that you do, you want to be pleasing to God, it's worship. And I'll tell you, when you live that way, this way means a lot more. And it has shaking power, because you are literally a demonstration of worship. My life belongs to you, Jesus. I want to glorify your name. Then he says something, I'm just about done, but this is real important. He says, I pray that you might have patience and long-suffering. And patience, what he's saying is, patience is able to take every trouble and turn it into victory. Wow, what a great concept. He's praying it would happen to you, sister. He's praying that every time you get in trouble, you learn how to turn it into a victory. Amen. Patience. I haven't made many things in my life cooking-wise, but I have made Johnny Cake. You guys might call it cornbread. But you put all these different, you put flour and eggs and, is it baking soda or baking powder? Baking powder, you put them all up. And I mean, you're not going to take a cup and scoop that out and eat it like that. So you stir it all together, and then it's kind of, and put oatmeal in there, or not oatmeal, cornmeal in there. It turns yellow. You're still not going to eat it. And you're working it all together. And so you put it in the oven. You put it in a pan, put it in the oven, and you turn the oven on. And you're still not going to eat it. All the elements are there, but it starts to cook. It starts to smell good. And about 20 minutes, at 425 degrees, I believe, you go out and you can grab that cornbread or that Johnny Cake, and you can cut it, and you put maple syrup on it, and it just tastes awesome. Or you can put blackberries on it, you can put applesauce on it. But the point I'm trying to make is patience must have its full work. So you might be at the stage where you're just gathering the eggs and the cornmeal and the flour, and you have about as much patience that you're about ready to throw the pan. But, okay, you just put them all together and you start to stir them up, okay? So there's some things going on right now in your life, and there's some things possibly even going on with some brothers and sisters, and you're about ready to throw the pan. God's trying to teach you something, okay? You need to have patience with that brother and that sister, and even patience with yourself. And then he says another thing. This is a great thing. He says you have to have long-suffering. And long-suffering, this actually has to do with people. Have you found that people drive you nuts? Okay? He's saying, I'm praying. You shouldn't say that so loud, brother. You're sitting by yourself. That's a dangerous thing. Okay? He's praying that you'll have mercy, that God will somehow release grace into you, that you can put up with that husband that's driving you nuts, or the aunt, or the pastor, or the elder, or whatever it is, your boss. He's saying, I'm praying that you don't flip out. I'm praying that you don't throw the pan at him. Because if you'll be patient and you'll work with God, God is after that person. I was thinking way back when I was a teenager, a couple girlfriends that actually witnessed to me. I wasn't even on the planet when they were talking to me. I mean, I never heard nothing that they said, and all of a sudden I realized they were telling me about Jesus, but I was in a complete fog. But there's one sister, her name is Susie Bushy. She's Jack Bushy's sister. She started telling people in our senior class way before I was saved, pray for Dan Tabor. Pray for Dan Sable. No, Jack Bushy. Pastor Jack Bushy in Beaver Falls, sister. But she began to say, I hear the bones rattling. I see some smoke. I see some dust happening here. He's still smoking pot. He's still involved with all kinds of weird stuff. But God's moving on that guy. And I'm going to pray him right in. Oh! God wants to fill these places with people that you've given up on, and God has said, I haven't given up on them. And I don't want you to give up on them. I want you to begin to speak to them. I want you to begin to pray for them. That you might see that you are called to those very people that sometimes we try to ignore. You ever been in a store and you see somebody and you go down the other aisle?
Come on. You ever do that? And they go to your church. I've done it. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I've done it.
Amen. Oh, just let me read some more scripture so I can kind of button this up spiritually, okay? That he would strengthen you. See, Paul understood you need strength from the Holy Spirit, not determination, but you need strength from the Holy Spirit. That he might strengthen you to his glorious power, with his glorious power, that you'd give patience and long-suffering, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints. It's fun to be in Jesus, isn't it? But there's a sobering thought. Some of you are not having a lot of fun. God came to rescue you today. He came to help you. That you could look at it differently. Paul could have got totally bummed out by being thrown in prison. But God opened his mind to see what he was doing. So if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to stand up before the Lord and acknowledge that. I want to pray for you. If you're going through something right now you don't understand, you're really even angry at, or frustrated at least, come on, don't be shy. We are all people in need in this room. I'm standing here. I have my own basket of drama. Amen. Let me share what I would call a prophecy right now, and just so that you can understand something. The whole earth is filled with the glory and the knowledge of the Lord. Wherever you look, God can speak to you. I'm thinking about a field right now, and that field is plush with wheat. But alongside both sides of the field, there's rock fences, which means that there was a farmer that was very patient when he went into the field, because the field was originally filled with rocks. And so one by one, the farmer went and he picked up the rocks and he took them over and he put them in a pile, or took them to the cross. He took them to the promises of God and he cleared the field, because he knew that in the field was the potential for a great harvest. There's a proverb that says, there is great increase in the fallow ground of the poor. That's us. We're all poor spiritually. Great increase is in each one of you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, just like you walked up to your apostles, I'm praying, Lord, that you'd call it out of them right now. The greatness of Christ in them. The greatness, Lord, to have strength to believe when everything says you can't believe. Father, I pray for sound words to come out of their mouth, Lord, as they prophesy to their situations. And I'm asking right now, Lord, I am so thankful that you hear our prayers. Release your kingdom on every one of these situations, on these people. I pray that the person standing would be changed, and the person they're talking about and their situation would be changed to the glory and the honor of your name forever, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Brother Jeff, did you want to close this? Okay, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the snowstorm. Spring is just around. Hey, I got to go all the way back to Boonville. Spring is just around the corner.